In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred and Little Stevens Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Lefty Weakling, a.k.a. Glenn Burtnick. He's the bass player in the New Jersey-based band The Weaklings. Their new album is called Raspberry Park, out on Gem Records, and it features our recent coolest song in the world, All the Cash in the World. We'll hear a bit of that now, followed by my interview with Glenn on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage.
I don't know how far away, I don't know how long I'll get to play. You can't count the days, but it's all just a matter of time now anyway. I've seen fives and I've seen tens, gone to places I'll never see again. I'm cool with that, 'cause you know that the wind isn't always at your back. I've had a broken heart and a bloody nose. I've been kicked around and I don't give a damn who knows. I wouldn't change a thing for all of the cash in the world.
Mighty Man with you in Little Stevens Underground Garage, and it is Coolest Conversations time. My guest is Lefty Weakling, also known as Glenn Burtnick, singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, former member of Styx, and bass player in The Weaklings. The band's latest album, Raspberry Park, is out on Gem Records, and it's home to this week's coolest song in the world, All the Cash in the World. How are you, Glenn?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Very happy to be chatting with you again, and congratulations on Raspberry Park.
Thanks. We're very thrilled with this album, and we're happy that Little Stevens Underground Garage is playing it.
Oh, man. Well, you're certainly welcome. I think, not counting the live albums, this is like the fourth studio full-length you guys have out on Gem, isn't it?
I think you're right. Yeah, that sounds right.
When did you start work on Raspberry Park?
You know, we released an album during COVID, so that's what I remember as our last album. So, you know, it's been about 3 years of us kind of pushing that album and playing gigs and writing songs and recording. You know, we're not quick, I guess, but we put a lot of care and thought into this one. And like usual, there's a lot of cover music on it, but also there might be more original music on this album than any other Weaklings album. I haven't counted, tallied it up, but it's we're proud of the album.
Well, can you remind us who all is in the band?
Well, we have Zeke Weakling, who's my partner, who is also Bob Berger. We all have two names. And our great lead guitar player is Rocky Weakling, who is also known in Brooklyn as John Merjavi. And our drummer is Smokestack Weakling, who is from this Asbury Park area, and his name is Joe Belia.
Well, you know, we've spoken a couple of times about how the Beatles have influenced you, and how you were even, how you even had appeared in a Broadway production of Beatlemania. And initially, the focus of the band put those influences front and center. And, you know, those elements are still present on the album. You mentioned covers, and on there's last year's a single, your version of I've Just Seen a Face. But I hear a lot of other influences on the latest one, from Eddie Cochran to the Kinks and more. Are the guardrails off from this point forward?
Absolutely. That's good ear, though, you've got. Yeah, well, we are still drawing from, I think that most artists, most recording artists, draw from what they loved as younger, when they were younger. But we kind of started out limiting it to, let's try to sound like early Beatles. And initially, we would say, we're going to act like the 80s never happened, and try to just create music from the pre-drum machine world. But what I now am saying, after this album, I'm telling people, we're making believe that the 90s never happened. So it's still kind of retro-ish, you know. We're drawing from the music that we know best, that we love. But we're still coming up with our own take on things. And there are the covers on this record, but we totally twist them and mangle them and make them into our own versions. We change the grooves, we change the keys, we change the vocals. So it's a creative exercise for us. And so far, nobody's complaining too much.
No. So Raspberry Park, the album title, the notion of Raspberry Park, is that some sort of Strawberry Fields for you? Is there, you know, like a physical Raspberry Park?
No, it's just an odd thing that, well, when I first moved here to Asbury Park, it was like an oasis. It still is. It's by the ocean. It's a beautiful place. There's tons of music. There's tons of great young and old bands. I'm completely inspired by the town and the music. And like I said, there's a lot of younger musicians that I see, these bands that are blow me away. And so it's a cool, it's almost like a retro vibe, like maybe a little bit like the Greenwich Village might have been in the early 60s or something. But it was an oasis for me, so I started to refer to it as Raspberry Park. And through the years, I've often said that when people ask me where I live, you know, Raspberry Park. And so then we were looking for a title for this album, and you know, it's hard enough finding a band name, you know, like when you have four guys that, you know, everybody's got strong opinions, and four creative guys. And even coming up with the Weaklings was like a fight. And in fact, that little Steven himself once said to me, this is the worst name for the best band in the world. So, and it is a ridiculous name. So in any case, I've blurted out Raspberry Park. Our manager, Tony Palagrossi, who's also known as Caesar Weakling, he loved it. The other three guys kind of looked at me cross-eyed, but we're going with it. So there you have it.
Well, cool. Let me ask you about Raspberry Park for a moment. So you mentioned older musicians, newer musicians, a lot of music there. And I'm familiar, you know, with the longtime club, the Stone Pony. Years ago, I played at Asbury Lanes. Are there a number of places to play outside of the two that I mentioned?
Yeah. There's a bunch of little places, smaller places, certainly. But there's also, Convention Hall is like where, you know, Led Zeppelin and there was a Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. There was a riot way back in the day. Certainly Bruce has played there, Bruce Springsteen, and Little Steven at these other places that have come and gone. But now there are some smaller places where the younger bands don't have to be pressured to bring in enough people to fill the room. I mean, you know, if you've got like a place that holds 50 people, a young band can go in and work on their craft and come up with great music without that pressure, you know. And Asbury Lanes is still there. It's updated, perhaps from when you played there last. I'm not sure. But
we set up in the middle of the lanes.
yeah. I've played that too. That was a magic place. It's been updated. It's like super, it's a lot more, hooked up technologically now, but it's, you know, it sounds great and you can still actually bowl while attending a rock concert. So you got
that is very cool. I mean, I did have to duck a couple of gutter balls coming at me, but otherwise, you know, well, speaking of craft, let's talk about your craft some more. So our coolest song in the world this week, All the Cash in the World off of the new album, Raspberry Park. Song details, a character, a person with a broken heart, bloodied nose, been kicked around, going to keep going on. this tune, drawn any one experience from yourself, your own, like a primary experience, or are you pulling it out of older experiences?
You know what? You know, as a songwriter, you know, for songwriters, you just write and write and write. And I've been writing songs forever. And sometimes you just get tired, which I have become tired of the romantic approach, songs about people falling in love, songs about love gone bad. I mean, how many times can I write that lyric? So in any case, I am leaning more lately on other topics. And this song is kind of like a more mature Lefty Weakling with Zeke stepping in to help out on lyrics, and we together came up with a song that's it's a bit of looking back at life at this point, but you know, I don't know that it's that it makes sense for a guy who's happily married and still playing rock and roll to sing about meeting a girl in a bar. You know, I'm enjoying my life right now, but I'm also looking back at all the good and bad stuff that's happened. And it's like, so this is a little more of a grown-up Glenn speaking.
You mentioned Zeke helping out with the lyrics. I love that in All the Cash in the World, you worked a line about 96 tears into it. Was that his idea or was that your own?
That happened to have been mine, but... Yeah, but we're both about the same age. And, you know, a lot of our audience, we don't have the Taylor Swift crowd coming to see us. It's people that know us from other bands and things. And we're all grown ups on this boat.
That's right. That's right. Our people are well out of their diapers, you know, not quite into the new set of diapers, but so
in between. Yeah.
In between. Now, you got a song on there titled Brian Jones.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about your love of the Stones and Brian?
Well, you know, we may have started as a Beatle band, but anybody that's into that has got to take note of the Rolling Stones. And they're the band that just, you know, they're still out there. Mick Jagger is an 80-year-old master on stage with tons of energy. The Stones, they're, of course, an influence. And Brian Jones is an incredibly, it's a mysterious character, tons of mystique. He was kind of the coolest Stone. He was kind of the originator of the Rolling Stones. I love the records that Brian Jones made with them. And so his is a compelling story. And that song is really Zeke's baby. And, and we also lifted from, as we do, the Weaklings lift from many influences, and the bass line is an absolute ripoff of Sonny and Cher's
The Beat Goes On.
Yeah.
Well, that was the next question.
Sorry.
That's okay. Oh, it's just, you know, it's great. Well, so the Sonny and Cher thing, that line is so cool. So where you said this was sort of Zeke's baby, did he start off with that?
Yeah, he did. He recorded a little voice memo on his iPhone and sent it to me, and that's the first thing I heard. And of course, I was like, I recognized it, and I've always felt that what a great bass line, which was most likely invented by Carol Kay, the bassist out there. And it's a great bass line that I have actually not heard anyone else lift. So it's like time to lift it, you know?
The lift is can be such a heavy word. They're sort of like it's an inspirational riff, you know. It should be, people should be reminded of it again.
Yeah, we recycled it or repurposed.
Oh, recycling. That's a good way to phrase it, isn't it? Well, you've got Peter Noon on the album singing with you. It's a way cool mashup of like Buffalo Springfield's Mr. Soul and speaking of the Rolling Stones, the Stone Satisfaction. Mm-hmm. You call it Mr. Soul Satisfaction.
Yeah,
I believe it was back in 2019 that you recorded a version of the Easy Beat song Friday on My Mind with Peter Noon.
Yes.
So you've got this working relationship. How did you get him on board to contribute the lead vocals to Mr. Soul Satisfaction?
You know, we had this version that we came up with, and, you know, I was going to sing it, but we said, wouldn't it be cool if we got Southside Johnny to sing on it? So we kept bugging Johnny, who said, yeah. And we couldn't nail him down, you know? So, Bob Berger, Zeke Weakling, he was, we were playing somewhere with Max Weinberg out in the Midwest or somewhere. And Bob went to a restaurant that night and ran into Peter Noon at the same restaurant. And Bob just grabbed him, said hi, and said, hey, we got this track. You want to hear it? You want to sing on a new Weaklings arrangement? And that's really how it happened, you know. And Peter's an amazing guy. He still had, talk about aging rock stars that still have it all. This guy's voice is incredible. He's still playing like over 150 gigs a year, and he's absolutely cooperative. He's you know, you ask him to do a song and he's like, yeah. And so I always say the 9-year-old Glenn inside me is flipping out to have Herman of Herman's Hermits hanging out with us, singing a song on our record, and doing a great job, man. The guy is he's a legend that might go unrecognized, you know, but he is a big part of the British invasion.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool the way that song has come together. So I was wondering about the tune Falling Down a Flight of Stairs. Hmm. Who wrote that?
Well, that was me and Zeke again, but it's really another very personal thing of mine. And there was a friend of ours from Asbury Park, actually from Toms River, this beautiful young singer, songwriter, actress, girl who suddenly passed away. And it was tough. It was tough to deal with. And sometimes traumatic things like that are inspiration for songwriting. And like I said, I'm more interested in writing songs that are a little more personal, realistic, honest. And so that's what Falling Down a Flight of Stairs was. That was my reaction, was she checked out at a very young age, and I'm like, I feel like I'm falling down a flight of stairs. What happened, you know?
May I ask, how old was she?
She wasn't 30 yet.
That's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm sensing, Eddie Cochran looking over your shoulder on the tune I'm on Fire. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, Eddie's in there. Also, the Jordanaires are in there. Rocky Weakling, our illustrious guitarist, he took the song home, came up with a guitar solo, which is very Eddie Cochran. And he said, you know what, I've got an idea. And he overdubbed himself. He arranged a very Jordanaires background vocal on that during the guitar solo. So anyway, yes, we're looking back at those roots, the early roots of rockabilly, if you will. And it's a Bruce Springsteen song. It's a completely different take on one of his songs, which was fun to rearrange as well.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Well, you finish off the album with a really poignant tune called She's Leaving Home. And you know, my daughter is off to off to college and just left to return for what is her final she's on a quarter system final, you know, this winter, and then she graduates in June. So, you know, that kind of era that she's a single, you know, she's just one, I'm divorced, but we just have the one child. But here,
big stuff, man.
Yeah, big stuff. And and so what was this, someone in your circle, there's this experience or story comes from?
Well, I have four kids, and three of them are all grown up and out in the world, and I'm really scared for them because it's a pretty crazy world. But I know more now than I used to. But I've always admired the subject matter and the lyrics, as well as the music of this Paul McCartney song, and I've always been amazed that it was written by a guy in his early 20s, yeah. Like a guy that's like your daughter's age, you know? And it was so insightful and so big of him to be able to imagine what it looked like from both sides. And the parental side is a big part of that song, you know? So I've always admired this song. I always thought it was a great piece of songwriting, but I came up with this other approach, a slowed down kind of a sadder, if you will, a little more potent kind of, maybe it's a little bit of R&B in there with a horn section. It's a rearrangement. We have once again weaklingized a classic song, by this time by the Beatles again. And we made it as much our own as we could, and everybody seems to like it.
Oh yeah, that's killer. Well, today's Friday, the 26th, and you're supposed to be opening up for Cheap Trick at the International Beatles on the Beach Festival. They're in Delray Beach, Florida. Have you ever played with Cheap Trick before?
No, but you know what? I'm in seven bands, Manfred. And I was recently, or maybe 2 years ago or so, I did a performance in Clearwater, I think it was Florida, with the orchestra, which is offshoot of ELO. And we played on the bill with Robin Zander, opened for us. And so I got to meet Robin, hang out with him a little bit, and he invited me on stage for the Abbey Road Side 2 medley that he did. And so I got to sing that with Robin Zander, who I think he may be one of the greatest rock and roll singers of all time. And talk about unheralded, you know, like this guy, he's just amazing. He's incredible. And so, but no, the whole band, actually, I take that back. When I was in Styx, when I was in Styx on July 4th, 1991, Cheap Trick went on before Styx at the Cotton Bowl. There were 60,000 people there that day. It was a big, hot, super hot day.
Yeah.
They were hosing down the audience because they were just, you know, melting out there. It was so sunny and hot. And so Robin Zander, you might have to bleep me on this. Robin Zander kept calling out to the audience, show us your tits, show us your boobs. And so he kept doing that in between every song, and we're standing behind them watching this happen. And one by one, the bras, the tops came off. And when it was time for Styx to walk on stage, it was like like Fellini's Satyricon or something out there. So that's that was a gig I played with Cheap Trick and Robin Zander. And I must remind him tonight when this airs, I must remind him of that story now that you mention it.
Well, we're going to hear one more tune off Raspberry Park. I want us to take a listen to the track like we used to do. And I'm thinking in the mix, I hear a cowbell on that one. Am I right? There's a cowbell going on.
Yes. Yes, we had Will Ferrell.
Well, you guys produced the album yourselves, didn't you?
Yes, we did. And
somehow it slipped past the producer not to give more cowbell.
I don't know. We actually we sampled Will Ferrell's cowbell off the Saturday Night skit off of YouTube, and we, you know, we lined it up.
Well, you know, that is doable. That could be the case. That's the world we live in.
I'm gonna stick to that story. Okay, we did that.
Right. Yeah. What else can you tell me about like we used to do? Right. That's one from a sort of your today's perspective in your life, surely.
Yeah, yes, that's true. But once again, it's talking about what we used to do or the way we used to do it. And let's do that again. It's a rocker. I'm actually lifting from myself, or recycling or repurposing, as you will. It's kind of a riff that I've been towing around with me for years, and it's a rock song, and I threw it at the rest of the band. Everybody jumped in. We kind of turned it into a Led Zeppelin ending, and it's a really fun song live, and it's almost the first song on the record.
You know what? In fact, one more thing I hadn't thought about this, and like somehow I've forgot. But speaking of it, so you've got these kind of little interludes throughout the album, the bits and pieces of what could have been a complete song. So I mean, it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting sort of thing to have as you're listening to the album as a whole, one track into the next. What possessed you to have these little interludes, these small music sections?
Well, you know, I think of it as a Beatle thing. Like, I'm a big fan of the White Album. That's my favorite one. And, you know, there were little interludes and crazy things that they did on that album. But also, we had agreed on the title of the album being Raspberry Park, and I came up with this idea. This song, Raspberry Park, showed it to Zeke. He said, well, let's add it. And he's seeing it more like a Sergeant Pepper kind of thing, where there's a Strawberry Fields 1, and then near the end of the album, there's a Strawberry Fields number 2. And so that kind of got us off on, hey, man, you want to add some more stuff? And there's always ideas flying around, and you're right, they could be completed songs, and maybe we will someday. Who wrote the rules, you know? We just kind of, at the very last minute, like pretty much when it was time to master the record, Bob and I both, we just came up with these ideas that we just quickly recorded in our home studios and threw it on the record. And I like to think it makes the album a little different.
Yeah, I agree. It's cool. Yeah. It's good. No, it helps create a mood and atmosphere. And then you know, the way it's sequenced.
Yeah.
It makes it more like a whole. There's a more, you know.
Yeah.
Helps the flow. And well, Lefty, Glenn, thanks again for chatting with me today on Our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah, man. It's always a pleasure.
We're going to give a spin now to Like We Used To. We're going to give a spin now to Like We Used To Do. It's the Weaklings off the new album Raspberry Park in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Here in Little Steven's Underground Garage with a tad of their song Like We Used To Do. It's off their latest album Raspberry Park on Gem Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's bass player Glenn Burtnick for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Paul Collins began his music career as a member of The Nerves. Their lineup also featured Peter Case and Jack Lee. Afterwards, he fronted The Beats.
releasing a lot of records as either the Beat or the Paul Collins Beat. He's also had a number of solo albums, the latest of which is Stand Back and Take a Good Look. And we're going to find out all about it next time around when Paul joins me for our Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.